Turning again to John's Gospel, chapter 11, these 45 verses that we read together. Sounds a long passage, but really I just want to simply go through these verses together. And just one thing in the background I want you to think of. All that we seek to say comes from the Scripture. And I want you just to notice that anything I say tonight, you are able to say, yes, that's what it says. That's what's there. That's why it's important to have your Bible open here this evening as we go through these verses. Well, I hope that's true of every time that we preach the gospel, that men and women and youngsters also can see, yes, that's what it says there. That's not just what the preacher's saying. That's not something he's thought up just to be interesting for half an hour on a Sunday evening. No, this is what the Word of God says. Well, we read here in the first verse, now a certain man was sick. A certain man was sick. We're sick, friends. That's what the Bible is telling us. We're sick. And this is why this is here in our first verse here tonight. We know it. We are not what we were meant to be. And friends, this sickness, well, it's there. This is what happened to Lazarus. This is the Bible's message. Why have we got this history with this man and this family and what the Lord Jesus Christ did in this situation? Why is it there? It's for us. It's for us to know that we're sick, and it is a sickness unto death. It's deadly, that sickness of sin that has corrupted our souls. We cannot help ourselves, just as Lazarus could not. This was Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Well, we know what our names are, oh friends, but the Bible pronounces us, each one of us, individually, as sick. Well, we live amongst others. He was the brother of Mary and sister Martha, and we're glad of that. And this is a lovely family that we look at in the New Testament and in the Gospels. And we live amongst others. They know our condition. They may love us as these loved each other, but they cannot do anything different. They cannot do anything for us. They cannot save us in this soul sickness that is ours. That's just so straightforward. Some of us know that what may be done. There it is in verse 2. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now they knew what to do, and that was to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto the Lord Jesus and told him, Lord, he whom you love is sick. Oh, do you see that? There are friends here that know the trouble of your soul, and they pray for you. They have a care for you, an eternal concern for your spiritual condition, which is this sickness, which is unto death. And you see, here is Mary. It's interesting that we're told again that she was the one in the family that when the Lord Jesus was here, and it was actually a little bit later, that she actually anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may remember some of the disciples were slightly indignant, especially Judas, the traitor. Why wasn't this sold for 3 pennyworth of money and given to the poor? Not that he cared for the poor. 300 pence, that's a whole year's wages in the language of the Authorised Version. But the Lord Jesus said, let her alone. She knows something. She knows something many of you don't know. Why is she putting this oil on my feet and on my head? Why? She did it for my burial. She knew that soon I was going to die. And she had an inkling that this was the sacrificial death that was pointed to all through the Old Testament. You see, Mary knew. Mary understood. Friends, we don't pat ourselves on the back here. We don't preen ourselves and say we know something you don't. But friends, we have learned something from the Scripture. And we know your condition. And we pray for you. And we ask the Lord to help you. Friends, we know from the Bible how we can find a cure for our souls, just as Mary knew at that time. Of course, it was a cure and a remedy that came from the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ was very close to. This was Bethany. Did you know how many furlongs this was from Jerusalem? It's about 2 miles. And that's more easily understood. About 2 miles. 2 miles from where very soon he was to give up his life, a ransom for many, to pay for their sins. It was to be an atonement that would cover their sins, and so they could be forgiven and brought to heaven. Mary understood something of this. And the Bible tells us that if we turn away from our sin and repent of our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation and yield up our lives completely to him, and then you can be saved. This is what we know. And this is, we know, is the only remedy for your sin and your sickness, your soul sickness, even this night. Well, here we understand that there are those that pray for us even. Therefore his brothers sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, that was their prayer. That was approach to the Son of God. And we approach the Lord for your souls, even here tonight. Look here, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, when he received the message, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This happens to be one that Christ would give life to. Oh, do we see here why? Do we see why the Lord Jesus would give life to Lazarus? Well, it was for the glory of God. Of course, everything in this world ultimately is for the glory of God. Man thinks that everything about himself in this world is for his own glory. He thinks that he is so high and mighty. He thinks he is so wonderful. But oh, friends, we understand from even a verse like this that everything is for the glory of God, so that men and women might praise and worship him. Oh, friends, do you see it? That this raising of Lazarus was to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Do you like all the ands there? He loved each one of them individually. Friends, you must understand that God's love is genuine. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is genuine and deep for those that he would save. Oh, he will say that he will help us. He is concerned. He is compassionate far more than we are, even for those that are nearest and dearest to us. We read here that the Lord loved these three. Well, he loved many others as well. But that love is genuine. And we have it recorded in the Word so that we might understand that the Lord's love for those whom he would save is very deep. And therefore we say, oh, come and experience this love for yourself. Verse 6, you see how I just pick out these things which are so obvious. You could do this yourself. When he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. We understand a little later in the chapter why he did that. He was waiting for Lazarus to actually die so that the glory would be the greater and there would be many that would come to believe on him. But here in verse 6, you see that the Lord knows all about us. He was quite some distance. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. He knew Lazarus would die and he knew he would bring him from the grave. Oh, friends, God knows all about us. He knows what he will do. He is concerned for us and he knows what we must do. We must come to him, that we must seek him, seek his forgiveness, seek that life that he would give to each of us. So verse 7, then after that said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again, 2 days later. Well, the Lord Jesus has put himself in such danger, as he was to do here as well. It was to lead to his cross, his crucifixion. And the Lord Jesus Christ has put himself in such danger, such pain, such expense, such agony, and all to help us. He was going to Jerusalem, not just to this family that he loved, but he knew he was also going to Jerusalem to die in the place of sinners like us. And he was going to die with a curse of his Father upon him, die in the place of sinners like us, and bear the penalty for their sins. Oh, friends, you see, he was so determined to do this. You see it there in verse 8. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? That's how they treated him. Why, he'd almost been killed before, except that his time had not come. And now the disciples even are pretty sure that if the Lord should return to Jerusalem, that would be his ultimate end, death at the hands of the Jews, and maybe even the Romans was in their mind. Well, Christ knew that this was all to happen, but he was determined. He was determined when he came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. He came determined to suffer on behalf of his people. Oh, friends, do you see it there? Do you see it there in the verse? This is not something Christians have made up. this is here in the Bible, here and in many other places. So verse 9, the Lord says to the disciples, are there not 12 hours in the day? In the Middle East there, the day was almost exactly 12 hours. They don't have the long evenings that we have. It's almost exactly 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening, without much variation. Well, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world, the sun, of course. So the time here in world history and in his lifetime, it was a tremendous time. It was a time of work for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was a time of accomplishment for him to fulfill all his Father's will. It was a day when it had to be done. He had to go to Jerusalem to save his people, or no one would have been saved at all. And the Lord Jesus recognises that just as in the day you do the things while the sun is up and you can see to accomplish them, this was the time for him to go and go all the way to the cross. Well, do you see it? Do you see it, friends? Do you see the light? Have you got any light switched on in your soul that turns you now to this Lord Jesus Christ, to see that now you must come, now you must seek his forgiveness, now you must know his blessing as you come to him and seek him in such a way as we are describing here tonight? Oh, friends, come to this light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Eternal Son, S-U-N, and oh, come, believe and trust in this Saviour, this Almighty Friend. Verse 11, well, these things said he, after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Wow. Here the Lord Jesus Christ determines to save sinners. He determines to wake them up. He determines to enlighten them, to grant to them spiritual understanding, and to save them. Wow. We're asleep, friends. Just as we were saying right at the beginning that we're sick, we're also asleep. We know that this was death. And we are dead, friends. Dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. It's our sins that have cut us off from God. It is our sin that has taken any real spiritual life from us. Well, this is the pronouncement of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our souls. It is the truth. We're asleep. We're dead. Left in such a condition, we will continue destroyed from the presence of the Lord. The Lord clearly says here now that Lazarus is dead, even though he calls it sleep. Why would the Saviour go to wake someone up that was just sleeping peacefully in their bed? No, he was dead. The disciples should have seen that. Oh, we should see that we're dead. We should see that we have no spiritual life. We should understand that we need the Lord's help desperately. But here in verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, that's good. He should do it well. That would be better for him. They just don't see it. They just don't comprehend the condition of Lazarus. We don't see our own condition. We're so asleep, so dead, we're so blind to our condition that we're sick. We need salvation. They don't see it, nor do we. Friends, the Bible says that the spiritual aspect of our soul is dead. We have no life. We have no spiritual life, no eternal life. We do not relate to God, just as a dead person cannot relate to those round about them, perhaps at the graveside. We might say here, stupid disciples. Stupid disciples. How dense. How dense were they? How lacking in understanding, not to understand that the Lord Jesus spoke of his death. Clearly, for the Lord to say, I go to wake him, well, it must have meant that he was dead. Is it not obvious? But so dense are we, spiritually speaking. We cannot see or understand that we are dead and doomed, except Christ help us and give us life. See there, verse 13. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. They got it all wrong. So do we on this essential thing. They got it all wrong. The most obvious things we get wrong, that we're wrong, we're sinful, that we're dead, we need spiritual life. But verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. So are we. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes, says the Saviour, that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. This is here for us. Oh, take note of all this. This is recorded for our sakes, just as this happened for the sakes of the disciples, that they might believe more fully in the Saviour at that time. This is recorded for us. There's no doubt about it. So that we might believe. So that we might trust this Saviour. Trust his every word. Trust our very souls to him. Will you believe? Will you believe? Not just this, that Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, but will you believe that he is the one that can give you spiritual life, life now and in eternity? Will you believe it? Look here in verse 16. Thomas says, which was called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Well, typical Thomas. Well, he was so sure that the persecutors of the Lord Jesus were going to get them all and kill them all, that here he thinks, well, let's go. Let's go and join him. Let's go and join Lazarus in the place of the dead. That's doubting Thomas for you. So true to his character. Is that you? Do you say something similar? Do you say, what's the use? What can I do? What will be, will be. Is that where you've come to on your spiritual journey? Oh, that's so wretched. Why not come and trust the Saviour? Can you not trust him? So that it could be all so different. Oh, can we not trust in this mighty Saviour of men, the giver of life? Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Well, of course, the Lord Jesus coming is going to make all the difference. But he came to the grave. He came to the dead. He came to the hopeless. He came to the reaper of the wages of sin, which is death. He will come to you. He will come to you like that, as he has done to so many, and he has given life to them. Can we not believe in this simple narrative that this could all apply so personally to our lives? 4 days. He's been dead. How long have you been dead? All your lifetime. Dead. Without Christ and without hope. Look here, verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, 15 furlongs, about 2 miles, nigh to the cross also, where the Lord Jesus Christ was going to bring salvation to all his people. Verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort concerning their brother. He was a well-known person, Lazarus, quite prominent, even in the city of Jerusalem, a well-known family, and they came to mourn with them. But that's all people can do. That's all people can do, mourn with us and lament our wretched lives in this world and what trouble sin has got us into. But they cannot give us life. They cannot help us. We might go to many for some support in this world, even a little comfort in the circumstances that we read of here. And that's right, and that's good, and that's proper. But oh, friends, they can't do any more. They can't do any more but weep for us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he can give us life. He can give us eternal life, or that we might believe and believe that with all our hearts. They cannot change things, but the Lord Jesus Christ does, as he does here, even in this narrative. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. There is one that believes, even in this family, and even if faintly, will you believe? The other sister Mary does not come. She perhaps doesn't know that he's come, or is too full of grief to approach the only Saviour. Maybe we're so confused. Maybe these things are too much for us. We don't know what to do. Oh, friends, you must do as Martha does. Come to this Saviour. Seek him out very specially and very carefully. And verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Of course, but that's not the end of hope. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. What's this? Even in doubt, even in misery, Martha, there is a reaching out and a prayer. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to know. Even in the moments of darkest doubt, to call out to this Saviour, even as Martha does here. What could she think could happen now? Her brother's been in the grave 4 days. What possibly could happen? But even here, she says, I know that whatever you ask of God, He will give it you. Here is the belief and trust, even tiny. In another place the Lord says, belief even as a grain of mustard seed, so tiny, he will accept and take, and oh, he will come and save us. May that be the case. Well, here verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. That's it. Believe it. Believe what he says. Believe his word. Believe his promise. Believe him. Trust him. Oh, friends, he can say this of us. If we'll trust him, that we will rise again from our spiritual death. Verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. No, but not just then. Here, now. Not just later, but here and now. We may be born again of the Spirit of God. We may be given spiritual life to live to God's glory. Verse 25, Jesus says the most wonderful words we ever heard from his lips. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, friends, marvellous, wonderful. He is the one that is life itself. He is the one that can grant spiritual life to us. He gave us physical life in the first place. You must understand that. That he is the one that lights every man that comes into the world. But he also is the one that can give us spiritual life. Abundant life. Eternal life. For he is the resurrection and the life itself. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I say it to you. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you believe the promise of the Saviour? Oh, we must. Well, here, wonderfully, Martha believes. She saith unto him, verse 27, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the promised one, the anointed of God, oh, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Saviour, which should come into the world. She believes. Martha wonders. Martha is filled with hope. Any hope in you tonight? Any hope of your souls? Salvation, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Mary also. She comes quickly there in verse 29. Oh, you must come quickly to the Saviour. It is an urgent thing. We must be quick. We must be so serious about this. It is a matter of life and death. The Master calls us. He calls us to himself. And he calls us to himself for life. Oh, that we might come to him. Look here, verse 30. Jesus was not yet come into the town, was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the grave. She's going to the grave to weep there. Well, all that the most that they can do at the grave is to weep. That's all they can do. We've wept at gravesides. We have been sad on other occasions. When it's been a believer, we've been very glad. But we can't help weeping as well. There's nothing else we could do. But there might be joy. There was to be joy. Gladness. In just a moment. As the Lord Jesus Christ grants life to this dead man. But all we can do is weep. Oh, verse 32. Oh, here Mary was resigned. But trusting, Mary was come to Jesus, fell at his feet, said the same thing as her sister, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But she had seen something that Martha hadn't before. Do you remember? She knew. She knew that he was coming to die on that cross and would be dead and would be buried himself. But she knew that that was soul salvation. And so even as she says these words, she's trusting in the Lord, or that we might as well. Well, we hurry through these verses. They're so simple and straightforward to us. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Oh, be sure of that, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he groans as he sees the result of sin in this world. It's misery. Oh, it's filthiness. Oh, it's cruelty. When he sees that sin, when he sees its great offence against God, and its misery, and its sadness, when he sees all in that world, he must think that God has no, mustn't think that God has no fellow feeling with us as we see all that. He grieves about it. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, in his very humanity, groaned as he saw the result and the end of sin, which is death. Verse 34, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Where are we? Where are we? Dead in the grave, heading for damnation, without God and without hope in the world. That's where we are, friends. That's what this is teaching us. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Of course he did. Of course he did. He sees us in our terrible condition, in our sickness, and in our death. And whilst he was here on earth, he wept. Oh, friends, see the love of the Saviour. See his wonderful compassion. Verse 36, he says to the Jews, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Don't we know it? Don't we know it, we that love the Saviour now and have known his salvation? We know. We know how he has loved us. And we can assure you, friends, you come to know him and to be saved, you'll experience the wonderful love of God. Verse 37, some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Of course. But he will do even better. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone was laid upon it. I wonder where we are, where we're dead, where we lay, as it were, in a grave that we cannot get out of, needing the Saviour's help. 39, he says, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days. He stinks, he's corrupting. Even now, he says, take it away. Take away that stone. And he says to us, take away all that hinders our freedom and our life. But how can this be? We have been so corrupt for such a long time. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with such a condition. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Oh, believe it tonight, friends. Believe it. See it. The glorious thing, the salvation of a sinner, the salvation of your own soul, raising someone from spiritual death to spiritual life. 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead had laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus Christ wants us to see it. He wants us to understand it. He so wants us to believe it. 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Do you hear a voice in your heart tonight? He calls you out of the grave. Listen. Listen, friends. Respond to it. Believe him. Trust him. Repent of your sin. Turn away from that old life. Yield up your life completely to him as he comes and calls you out of such a grave of spiritual death. He will not be denied. Lazarus comes forth. It will happen. Oh, friends. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. It was the same that was buried, but now he has life. Only Christ can do it. Lazarus was dead, helpless, dead. So are we. So are we, friends. But oh, we may be let go from the bonds of spiritual death. Oh, friends, you see, come to this Saviour. Lastly, verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They believed. Won't we? Won't we? Oh, may we, even this night, believe in this wonderful Saviour who is the resurrection and the life. Amen.